The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Yeah, I mean, he was close. He was close right there. He's definitely, we thought he was the best defensive player on the board. And I can't remember exactly where he was. But, we were surprised he was there, and we're happy that we have him.
Okay, Cecil Lammy in for Mark, who's off today. Pat Surtain is the number one pick for George Payton's Broncos. Tell me about this guy. Is this somebody, I look at it, and I know they spent a lot of money, Cecil, on Ronald Darby, but I will be very disappointed if this guy isn't your starting corner opposite Kyle Fuller by at least midway through the season.
All right.
Would you agree?
Well, I'd almost say week one.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, and no disrespect to Ronald Darby, but he gets pass breakups. He doesn't get any interceptions, like any, even dating back to his college career. I do take issue with what George Payton said there. It's like, we're totally surprised he was there. There was no mock draft under the sun. There was no scenario where Pat Surtain was going to be taken before the Denver Broncos. The Broncos were always the team that would be, you know, the first up to possibly take him. But Surtain is a smart player. He's athletic. He's tough. He's not overly fast, all right? But he turns his hips well. He anticipates. He has great click and close ability when the play's in front of him. He's everything that you want in a corner. He can start. He's incredibly bright, very intelligent. He can start for you from day one in this Vic Fangio defense. He's a standout player that, you know, I don't want to say Champ Bailey, because that's a gold jacket, right? But there's shades of Champ Bailey to his game.
What frustrates me, the reaction to the Surtain pick is, oh, he's a corner, great. You know, he's going to break up one pass intended for Tyreek Hill from Pat Mahomes. And
right.
What kind of a difference is that going to make? Was the Super Bowl, I don't know, was I imagining what happened in the Super Bowl year of 2015? Was that just a dream, or did I not watch a collection of corners and safeties?
Right.
Together, the no-fly zone, one of the most dominant secondaries in the history of the NFL, a massive reason why the Broncos won a Super Bowl, and we're belittling or diminishing the importance or the impact that corners can make?
Yeah, we should be doing that. And by the way, that was Todd Bowles' game plan. I always hate when people talk about the Buccaneers and be like, oh, he stole Vic Fangio's game plan. No, he didn't. That's Todd Bowles' design. But you look at the NFL, you got to have those top corners to go against those top receivers.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Good athlete, runs real well, got versatility. Sometimes his versatility has kind of hurt him a little bit in his development. We'll figure out where we're going to put him first, see how he does there, and make a final decision at some point. But like his speed, like his athleticism, think he'll be a major contributor in special teams and compete, you know, for one of the linebacker spots.
Hey, Cecil, I've been jonesing for a linebacker for the last couple of years. I look at Vic Fangio defenses, whether it be in San Francisco or with the Bears, and they always had really good dynamic linebackers. No knock on Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson. They're solid linebackers. I just don't think of dynamic, you know. I don't think of all over the field doing everything that these dynamic linebackers do. So my question is Brandon Browning capable of being one of those great linebackers that Vic Fangio has coached in the past?
Baron Browning has everything that you want in a linebacker. I hope this team doesn't Justin Hollins him. I hope they don't DeMarcus Walker him, meaning I don't know where he's at, and we'll move him around, or we'll cross-train him. Like, no, for the love of God. I'll even go back to the Saints with Vic Fangio when they had Vaughn Johnson and Sam Mills in there at inside linebacker. That's exactly what you need. And, of course, never any sort of disrespect for Josie Jewell or Alexander Johnson, but you can be better. You can be better inside. And it was the one weak spot. Think of it like the water boy when his kicker's going down the line trying to find the guy to kick to. Like, oh, there he is. Yeah, that's what you do if you're game planning against this Broncos defense. Pass rush, defensive line. Nope, can't go against those guys. Secondary, better watch out. Corner, safety, superstar talent. Inside linebackers where you would pick. It's the weak spot on this team. It just is. And for the guys that are on the team getting insulted by that comment, well, you'll be all right. Go be better. Baron Browning can come in, smart, physical, aggressive player. He does have instincts, although I do agree with Vic Fangio that, you know, because they were using him both outside and inside at Ohio State, we didn't truly get to see him fully develop at one position. I know he can rush the passer, but I would rather see him cover tight ends and be stout against the run. That's his game. That's the best part of his game. And the next best thing to Micah Parsons in this draft was Baron Browning. Broncos got a steal.
All right, next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, yeah, I think I could come in day one and, you know, just make an impact on the team, you know, by my play style, by my play traits. I think I'd come in and make an immediate impact. And, you know, I've been talking to Jewel for a little minute. You know, we haven't been talking about joining the same team, but, you know, it's kind of crazy how things all circle around together. I know he's probably very excited. You know, I'm very excited to go up there with him and reunite with him.
Hey, I'm glad that they've ended the ban on taking Alabama players. I love Alabama players. More of them, please. And if you look at this draft class, the first class of George Payton, is there a theme or two that comes through, a common thread of these draft picks?
Yeah, one, intelligent. Two, especially for their first two picks, I mean, incredible intelligence. But then you also have aggressiveness. I think what George Payton has done, and this is the most underrated thing, hardly anybody's going to talk about it until we bring it up right now as we kick things off on Schlereth and Evans. They have an identity. George Payton found their identity. You got your manhood back, Coach Klein. Yes, the Broncos now, with all of these players, you can look up and down the players that they added in this draft. Oh, aggressive. Smart, athletic, heady, aggressive. This guy, tough, big, physical, aggressive. This team is going to want to beat you up on the defensive side of the ball, and then on the offensive side of the ball, it's the same thing. They're going to try to go out there and out-physical their opponents with these smart and aggressive players. I think that one word, aggressive, I don't know, it must have been above in the war room. I didn't see it on camera, right? But it's somewhere in that war room, they must have had the word, find more aggression, because they got a ton of aggressive guys in this draft.
I don't know who it was. It was a head coach who's also the play caller, and it was during a game, and it had a close-up on his play sheet, and you could see it down in the corner, it said, be you. Like, it was a reminder to himself to be you. Don't forget who you are. Be aggressive. Be bold. Okay. And I wonder if that was up there on the wall for George Payton to stare at. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Next on the Morning Brew.
LeBron holding on to it. Four to shoot. Backing in on Wiggins. Gonna have to shoot right at the buzzer. Ball away. Got it! He's got it, the king.
Laker Radio. LeBron James is back. Just in time for the Nuggets to play the Lakers tonight in L.A. The Nuggets with a very impressive road win on Saturday against the Clippers in L.A. And so now the Nuggets are moving up, and LeBron is crying. LeBron is complaining about the prospects of having to play in this play-in tournament. Now, for those of you who don't follow it closely until playoff time, the NBA has come up with this gimmicky 7 through 10 thing to determine the last two seeds of the playoffs. So what they do is the 7th place team hosts the 8th place team. There's going to be a quiz after this. In a one-game matchup, the winner of that game will earn the number 7 seed in the playoffs. The 9th place team will host the 10th place team in a one-game matchup. The loser of that game is eliminated. The loser of the 7th place versus 8th place game will host the winner of the 9th place versus 10th place game in a one-game matchup. The winner of that game will earn the number 8 seed. The loser is eliminated. You know what? Normally, I like to pick apart everything LeBron complains about. He may have a point about this one.
Yeah, nobody told me math would be involved. I just know that. I remember it was a year ago, 2 years ago, when Nikola Jokic was like, what's the flailings means? Like, just watch LeBron, Nikola. You know, what's the flailings? Like, yeah, watch LeBron. We'll see what he's out there. And here's the thing. I said this after the Aaron Gordon trade. I was like, okay, this team, when they get to postseason basketball or they play teams that are going to be there in the playoffs, do you have that physicality? Do you have that toughness? And or will you be flopping? Will you be complaining to the refs so that you're not going to get calls? LeBron's going to complain to the refs. He's going to get those calls. So Jokic and company just kind of know going in, that guy's going to get those calls. Well, don't complain about it. Go out and play better.
The idea was to move up and jump over the Clippers so you could avoid a potential first-round matchup with the Lakers. Well, you jumped over the Clippers, but the Lakers are struggling so bad they've dropped to six. So you're still right now on a collision course to play the Lakers in the first round. Although I don't sweat the Lakers this year. I just don't.
I don't think you should do that. I think it's a bad idea when teams are like, we want to avoid this team. Why?
Yeah, I mean, they're dysfunctional right now. Their key guys have been hurt. I just don't think there's enough time left in the season for them to really get their continuity back. And plus, is the hunger level anywhere near the same as what it was a year ago when they won a championship? No, I wouldn't be petrified at all about, I'm not saying bring them on, but I'm not saying I root for them. Would I rather play the Mavericks or the Trailblazers? Sure, but I wouldn't be sweating or scared of a matchup with the Lakers in the first round. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right. I argued with James Marilat on Friday night, and I don't know if I can find one thing that James Marilat likes about this draft. We'll find out. He'll join us next.